Hi, welcome to Navigating the Spectrum with Michelle Portlock. I'm your host, Michelle Portlock, and I'm so happy that you joined me today. Today, I have a special guest, and I'm so excited to introduce her and for you to get to know her. Her name is Camille Joy, and Camille is a devoted wife and mother with a heart as vast as her roles, which include entrepreneur, podcaster, advocate, and just being a general beacon of hope. She radiates joy and utilizes her diverse platforms to uplift families navigating the unique challenges of raising children with special needs. In 2018, Camille Joy embarked on an inspiring journey when she launched her podcast, Moments of Joy. Today, it stands tall as a premier platform uniting parents raising children with disabilities and providing them with a supportive community. In her weekly podcast episodes, Camille draws from her personal experiences and shares compelling narratives from parents and professionals across the globe. Her mission is crystal clear: to deliver genuine support and absolute transparency to parents in the caregiving journey. This cause holds a special place in her heart, as her youngest son, Mason, was born with congenital heart disease and later diagnosed with autism. Camille Joy's life is a testament to the power of empathy, resilience, and unwavering determination to make a difference in the lives of families like hers. Camille Joy, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Well, I was telling Camille before we started recording that I follow her, and I follow her joyfully. I'm using that word because her last name is Joy, and everything about you radiates joy. And I think it doesn't mean that you always feel that, I don't know that means that there's always this huge level of happiness, but what I feel from you is empathy and care and concern and compassion. And to me, that is what radiates joy. And I just want you to know that I see it and I recognize it. And I wanted you on this podcast so that others could partake of that joy too. So
thank you so much.
That's well, you are welcome. And I really do mean that. And I want to start by asking you to tell us listeners about the work you're doing and why it's important to you.
Yeah, it's so important to me because, well, first, I have a child who is disabled, and I want him to grow up in a world that is more inclusive, that knows a little bit more. So we share bits and pieces of our lives with that in mind. And I think my platform is geared more toward the parent and the family member who's raising a child with special needs, because it is so difficult when you feel like you're alone, whether that's self-isolation or, you know, you really are alone in it. Right. But you need in this journey someone else to lock arms with you, someone to say it's going to be okay. You need to see other journeys of other parents, wherever they may be on the spectrum, just to see that, okay, life goes on. They're going to be happy. We're going to be okay. And, you know, we want to have children who are, when they're in our belly, typical. That's what we think that our children will be. And so when they are born disabled, it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's one that comes with its own beauties and challenges sometimes, but overall it's a different journey, and it's okay. And it's a beautiful one.
Well, I love the way that you said that. It kind of makes me think of, I've seen this before online in particular, where people say it takes a village to raise your child. And then there are a lot of families raising kids with disabilities, and they're saying, where's my village?
Yeah.
There's a lot of isolation in the experience. And something that I appreciate about you and your efforts and what you're trying to do is bring people together out of those places of isolation and loneliness and places of feeling maybe misunderstood. And you're saying there's a community here and come join us because we're sharing our stories and we're going to normalize what this is for each other. And we're also going to talk about how we can support each other and what that looks like. And sometimes the beautiful part is just having even one person validate your experience. And you've created this whole community of people. And I think something I've noticed about your page is if someone's experience is different than yours, because like you said, wherever our autistic child may be on the spectrum, wherever, whatever that looks like for them, it's a unique experience for that individual. But what I appreciate about your approach is, however these parents are showing up, you're acknowledging that, yeah, I see you. And I know your story is a little different than mine. Let's talk about that. And I feel like that's so validating for parents to feel heard. And I just love your approach. And I think I know the answer, but I just really want to hear from you. What inspires you to keep going every day?
To keep going every day.
Showing up in this way for this community that you're supporting.
Yeah, I think not just my child inspires me, but all of our children who will soon be adults. When you go back to thinking about where you in your personal life learned about someone with disabilities, for most of us, it wasn't that someone taught us. We learned from maybe someone being made fun of in school or something maybe not being said kind on TV. We haven't been taught in the a proper way. So my hope and my inspiration and my drive in that is making the world a different place for these children who will soon be adults. Of course, I'm not the president. I'm not someone who has a super large platform, but I can do my part so that even people who follow who don't have children with special needs, they have the language to use with their children to teach them to be kind, to teach them that, you know, it's okay to have a friend who has a disability and, you know, just creating a space. So it is my child that fuels me and encourages me, but it's also just the thought of all of our children.
I love
whether,
that.
Also, whether they have autism or Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or a medical kidney diagnosis or cancer, just anything, you know?
It's spanned to include all disability. I love that. That's a testament to your heart and to your compassion. And I love that. And I think we need to see more of that. And I think the more we talk about it and the more we put correct information out there, I think that that is what ultimately helps people better understand. And understanding helps create knowledge, but also more empathy in our communities and those that aren't connected to an individual with a disability. And I think that it is so needed in order to create what we're hopeful for those who are being raised, who are children now, but will be adults in the future. And I love that for that reason. I want to now kind of pay attention or focus on you recently hosted it was called Moments of Joy Fest. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I was saying it right. That's what I read it as. And I would love for you to speak to what this Moments of Joy Fest is and how people can get involved in the future.
Yeah. Well, the Moments of Joy Fest, really, it was the name, just a moment of joy, for the families that would attend. The goal continually moving forward, because it is a yearly festival, is to honor and celebrate families raising children with special needs. I think just a lot of times, you're not thought about. Really, the child will come first, but of course, caregivers, we put ourselves last. Yeah. And we don't practice self-care all the time. And, you know, we're not celebrated, but I wanted to celebrate moms, dads, grandmas, aunts, uncles who are raising these children. So at the event, we celebrated them. I handcrafted and created a certificate for them that we called every name and called them up, and we had cheerleaders and we had formed a line for them to walk down and receive their certificate. And I embraced every single person. And before that, that was the grand finale. But before that, we had 9 workshops available. I really had that many because in the special needs sector, we talked about everyone doesn't have autism as a diagnosis. So I wanted the workshops to be, you know, representative of everything so that it would feed the need of everyone. So each attendee got to attend 3 workshops. They got to meet people like them. So it was wonderful to see parents meet for the first time. We had a break for lunch and parents went and ate lunch with someone that they just met for the first time. We had respite care available, which was done by the All-Star Club from Colorado, and they're major. They host respite care at different places in Colorado once a month, but they came and they did respite care for our children. They volunteered and they had one-on-one care while the parents were able to learn and dive into learning. And we also had a panel discussion. Mm-hmm. So we have 5 moms that had different diagnoses. Each one of them had a child with a different diagnosis. And we had a 13-year-old all the way from London who was autistic, and she was a self-taught pianist and composer. So it was absolutely just beautiful. I think all the parents left so full. I know I did, but really just from seeing them all be celebrated, them all meet new people, it just filled my heart with so much joy. And I was the keynote speaker and I taught about choosing joy. And you know, joy being different than happiness, and joy is not based on our circumstances, but it's a choice. And so it was really good.
Oh, I love this. Okay, please, because I'm coming to the next one. There's nothing holding me back. Yes. And it's interesting when I hear you talk about how you embraced all the parents and you called them by name. Those little details, those are the little things that help people feel seen. Mm-hmm. And I just had a flashback, and I'm sorry to talk about myself, but I can't not think about this when you tell this story. My daughter, she's autistic. She's 21 years old and she works at an autism center, and she's all about providing like neuroaffirming care to autistic children. And they love her and she loves them. They have these beautiful relationships. So she was on a panel, and it was a national panel, and it was in Denver also. And since I live here, I was able to go and listen to her speak. And it's an interesting thing, because as a caregiver, I feel 2 things. One is you feel both exhausted, and then you also feel this sense of gratitude watching your child grow and experience. And so she presented half of her presentation was about me, which was hard for me to hear because I don't love attention. I used to as a kid, but as I've grown older, I'm like, it's okay. Like, I'll just stand back here. But at the end of the presentation, they made me stand up and they gave me a standing ovation, and I could not help but get emotional. I was embarrassed and also deeply touched at the same time. And I thought, well, both things can be true. I cannot want the attention and also deeply appreciate that her story touched their hearts. And also that my daughter and I are a team. And I am actually really proud of that, because I have had to come a long way. She was always who she was, but it was me that had to adjust and make changes. And I'm okay with that. I acknowledge it, and I appreciate the growth that I've experienced. And so some of the emotion came from that, of just, wow, we've come a long way together. And it felt really good. So I'm just kind of reminiscing about the fact that you acknowledged each of these parents individually. What a special moment for them. Because like I said, often we feel so isolated. And I think it helps bring individual parents out of those places of loneliness that they absolutely do experience. So I keep saying this, I can't help myself. I am so drawn to your passion. But even more than that, I feel like a really great adjective for you is you're a connector.
You're a
gatherer. And I'm so drawn to connectors and gatherers. And I think that's probably some of those gifts that you have that gives you this ability, plus your drive and your hard work ethic that is allowing people to come together.
I think in creating the podcast and just paying attention to what worked, I noticed that the growth happened when it wasn't necessarily about me and creating this platform that was a community. And so when you focus on strengthening and encouraging other people, I think they're more likely to share, more likely to, you know, really want to be a part of what you're doing. So it's not like a fan page or club, but, you know, I learned that there is power in community.
I love that lesson. And I believe that as well. I want to know, what would you share with other parents that are in, I say the trenches, because I think when I say the trenches, we all know what that, it looks like a lot of different things, right? It does. What would you say to parents that are in the trenches right now?
I would say to breathe. I would say when I was in the trenches, I got a therapist to help me, help me talk, help me navigate. So that's okay for you too. I started really paying attention to my mental health because I was just over exhausted, overwhelmed, annoyed and all the things, but I still wasn't making myself a priority. So I feel like that's one of the biggest things I like to encourage, is to prioritize your mental health and try to prioritize some form of self-care. Evaluate, do you need to go to the doctors? When's the last time you've taken your physical? When's the last time you've been to the gynecologist? You know, really take care of yourself, even if it's not spending money. I think sometimes a lot of people say, well, I don't have money like that. I don't have that in my budget. But it could be as simple as, if you like your nails done, go and buy some nail polish or paint your own nails, or go to Target and buy a face mask. Sometimes those things are only a couple of dollars, but designating a time for you to breathe. You can journal, you can go for a walk, but something that consistently feeds your soul, so that when these times hit where it's hard, and maybe your child's up all night, day after day, or maybe the meltdowns are getting really bad, that you're not operating on empty, because it makes such a difference even if you're halfway full, or even if you're a quarter full, it feels a whole lot better than operating on empty. And so that'd be my biggest piece of encouragement. And the next piece I would say is to find your tribe and community. And so if you're at a place where you're like, well, I don't know anyone, my family doesn't understand, there is 211. They will give you organizations that work with children with autism who are around you. You can call 211 and ask them for organizations. And many of those organizations have support groups and events where you can go. Facebook has a lot of support groups for autistic, for parents raising children with autism. And there are opportunities to connect all around you. So don't stay isolated. You need someone else along this journey.
I think those two pieces of information are pretty critical. And it's interesting. I think sometimes we grow up hearing when lose yourself in service, and that's where you find yourself. And while there's truth and beauty in that, mm-hmm. as a parent, we actually, I don't think that when we are strung out and overly exhausted and burnt, mm-hmm. that we are finding ourselves. I think mm-hmm. we've actually kind of lost the connection to who we are, and we can't continue to give from an empty tank. There's really isn't anything in there. And it does matter. It does matter because we do matter. We are our child's first line of defense, and we have to take care of ourselves so that we can also show up for them. And I think that I love your suggestions on how we can better do that. And I was thinking, okay, I do. I take walks, and I remember pushing the stroller with my kids, and sometimes they'd melt, and it took a lot of work sometimes mm-hmm. to get them in the stroller, but I needed to breathe fresh air and yeah. get out of my home. And so I would tell myself, this is worth the effort. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. And it did get easier over time, but by time I would say those were years yeah. in our house. And that's okay. There's seasons that are more challenging than other seasons. And we just, for me, I think I've had to shift the way that I care for myself in those moments. And I would also say having self-compassion mm-hmm. For us as individuals is also so important. We are so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that self-compassion can bring more peace, which I think that is actually what joy feels like to me, is yeah. a feeling of peace and settled internally for me.
So, something that just came yes, to my mind yes. was like a visual of a boat in a storm. Yeah. And, and I just thought to anchor yourself in care so that mm-hmm. when that storm comes, when those hard times come, mm-hmm. because they'll come so many times in just parenting in general. Lord, mm-hmm. I have five boys, so help. The teenagers help. So you need to be anchored so that you are fed, you are taken care of, and nothing can like move you to the point of having a nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm. I am a visual thinker, and that visualization is really meaningful to me. So I love that you shared that. I appreciate that. I do want listeners to know where to find you, where they can go to follow you. Where are the places that you are?
Yeah. So we're on Instagram and TikTok under Moments of Joy Podcast. On Facebook, I'm under Camille Joy. And yeah, and if you want more information on the Moments of Joy Fest, you can go to mojfest.com. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it again in July of 2024 in Houston this time. So it's going to be good.
Well, I love this. Thank you so much, Camille Joy. I have to say your full name because it makes me happy. So thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I know that listeners are feeling the same. And for listeners, you can also find me on Instagram at navigating.the.spectrum. Thanks again.